Hello, everyone out there. How are you all doing? We are in a new week of Hour of Healing. I hope by God's grace, you are doing well. You've been healing, you've been evolving. And, you know, as you've been listening to Hour of Healing, our prayer is that you go, you know, God helps you and molds you into the place and the identity where he has called you to be in. And so it's our prayer for ourselves and also for you as well. Last week's discussion was about types of wealth. That's what we started on, but unfortunately, because of time, we couldn't finish. And so we are continuing on that today. It was seven types of wealth Dr. Joe brought up. We talked about two of them, which was very, very powerful and mind-blowing. It's really life-changing if you can go listen to it. I'm sure Dr. Joe may talk about it, but I'm not. So I'm here again with Dr. Joe. I am your host, Candace. This is Hour of Healing and continuation of Types of Wealth. Dr. Joe, welcome in. Welcome in.
Thank you so much, Sister Candace, for hosting us today.
How was your week, Dr. Joe?
My week was great. Thank you. How about yours?
Great. It's been a while. I actually heard from my little minions in the family. How are they doing?
They're doing very well by God's grace.
We thank God. So, listeners, I hope you're all ready for us to continue on the discussion of last week. Like I said, it was very powerful and mind-blowing, life-changing, healing, really, is the word that took place. So we are on Hour of Healing, you know, as usual, we're healing, trying to heal communities, families, and individuals by the grace of God. Absolutely. So, Dr. Joe, if you can, you know, give us a little bit of a background for some people who are not able to, you know, maybe remember or listen to the previous one, and then we'll go into the third one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last week we started talking about the types of wealth. And really, to set the stage, we looked at the difference between our careers and our callings, that the work we do in ideal circumstances should unlock, refine, and reveal our callings in life, because it is our callings that are tied in into our wealth, not our careers. And so with that, we said we have about seven, but we talked about two main types of wealth. And I said that the spiritual wealth has to be the one that if you're going to skip any type of wealth at all, if you're going to spend your life being poor and not want money or whatever it is, pursue spiritual wealth, because that really is what will influence all the other types of wealth that we will look at. And so one of the things that I recall I said was that whatever is above you in life becomes your Lord. And so if you don't have spiritual wealth, then no matter what you have, there will be something or someone else above it. And that will lead to idolatry. And and so I think that was really one of the main things that we talked about. And of course, we talked about the things that fight these types of wealth. And we'll be continuing with the types of wealth and the things that fight them as we go on today.
Wow. And yeah, it was very interesting how, you know, with the spiritual, we learned that it's the devil. And with the social, we learn that it's character. It's very interesting because, you know, we move through life and sometimes we don't really take time to think about the things that are fighting us, right?
Correct.
So I believe in the way that we have started listing these is going to really heal people and really help our, one another grow and not just gain knowledge about what they should do, but also what to look out for whilst they're doing or pursuing what, you know, what we are talking about. And so what is the next one, Dr. Joe, that the types of wealth?
Absolutely. So, Sister Candace, again, this is not in order or priority outside spiritual wealth. So the third type of wealth that I want to talk about really is physical wealth. Physical wealth. And when we talk about physical wealth, that is really what most people attribute as health. And the truth is, in this life, if we're going to do anything meaningful and do it with ease, good health is necessary. So when we talk about physical wealth, we are talking about being free from diseases, sicknesses, burdens, yokes, oppressions. It's not just the things that you can touch that health has to do with. There are so many people, Sister Candace, who do not have a body illness but are dealing with oppressions. I remember in the Bible, I believe it's Matthew chapter 9, it talks about when Jesus had casted out a person who was demon-possessed. And the Bible says that when he casted out that demon, the person who was mute and dumb started speaking, which means that oppression from demons was what was causing this person to be deaf and dumb. And so oppressions are also things that fight us when it comes to physical wealth. And Zacchaeus, the principles of health does not only has to do with the things that we can see. The ability to guard your heart is one of the key measures. Now, there are people who don't speak life. Everything they speak is death. Everything they speak is negative concerning them, concerning their children, concerning their family. And friends, out of the abundance of your heart, the Bible says we speak. And so for the one who is always speaking negative things or speaking death, I am sad or sorry to let you know that it's because you are not guarding your heart. Your heart is dying. And out of that place of dying is why you are speaking all those negative things. What about the things that we eat? Eating right is also part of the things that we ought to do in order to walk in physical wealth. There are people who don't eat right. When you read the book of 2 Kings, the prophet Elisha with the company of prophets around him, at one point they said there was death in the pot, which means the things we eat can bring death to us and cause us to not walk in physical wealth. For you to walk in physical wealth, yes, you need to check what you eat. What are some of the other things that bring physical wealth? Rest. Rest. There are people who don't know how to rest. But there must be in your schedule, no matter how busy you are. And I find that the people who struggle with this the most when we come to the professional world has to do with masters of industries, Candace. Masters of industries, people managing multi-billion corporations and multi-million corporations and things like that. Finding time to rest becomes one of the hardest things they have to do. But when we talk about a spiritual aspect or from a kingdom perspective, those who struggle the most with this, Sister Candace, is men and women of God.
And you know, they boast about it too.
That I think is an error because, Sister Candace, I've said this before, that as far as the design of this life is concerned, God has given each and every one of us one body per lifetime. And so if you do not allow this body to recover by resting, friends, your body will break down, but your wisdom and your experience at that time will be at a point where men could have benefited from you the most. Again, remember when we talked about number your days. If you do not number your days and know what to do per season, per time, you will end up wasting your energy and your material or your resource, which is your body, to the point that at the time where you have to enjoy the fruit of your labor, you wouldn't be able to do that. And so to walk in physical wealth, you need to find time to rest. Even Jesus rested. In Mark chapter 4, he was sleeping at the stern of the boat on a pillow, which means he took the time to rest.
You know, that's very interesting because it's this, these, you know, God forgive me for this, but it's the same preachers and respectfully men of God and women of God that say, rest when you die, right? We rest when we die. And so they want to just work 24 hours in, you know, in the whole day doing God's work and all this kind of stuff. And I never really took that scripture in that context of him resting. You know, we always talk about that scripture in the sense of the disciples being afraid and, you know, their faith and all this kind of stuff. But we never really took time to think about, I mean, come on, we all going on a journey. Why are you resting? You know,
he was sleeping, not just napping.
The man was tired. But and he was like, I'm not, just because I'm God, I'm not waiting to get to the place to sleep. I need to sleep. I'm sleeping right now.
Absolutely.
This is something that most, like you said, in the kingdom, most people don't know how to do. And I think it's how do I put this? It's something that's hidden behind that. It's a lack of prioritizing. But we hide behind the fact that we should kill ourselves when in fact...
And in discipline.
Indiscipline, yes. When in fact, it's our lack of discipline and our lack of prioritizing. Because 24 hours given to you, given to Jesus, when he came on this earth, right? He found time to sleep. But we are always so quick to go to the scripture that at midnight or whatever, he went to the mountain to go and pray, you know, to justify things. When it's some things that God is really, he wants us to work on. And I really love this that you are bringing up, because someone would say that I don't see anything wrong with it. I've done this in my 50s as man of God.
And Zacchaeus, when we talk about the next type of wealth, this will actually be even more clear at that point. But I think I will be remiss if I don't mention this, that there is one more way that we attain physical wealth that I really want our audience to get. And Sister Candace, that is through fasting. Through fasting. I might as well add that the last component or the last way we attain physical wealth, which is through exercise. But most of the time, people relinquish fasting to spiritual people only. But physiologically, ask your doctor. They will tell you that fasting, there is such a thing as intermittent fasting, which helps lose weight, helps patients actually balance their lives well, and it helps people mentally be able to build self-control. Intermittent fasting does all these things. And so to walk in physical wealth, it's not just exercises that most of the time you talk about physical health and people talk about go to the gym and all that. Yes, that's part of how you get physical wealth. But these things that we have listed are also very, very important for you to be able to grasp in order to walk in physical wealth. And Sister Candace, before we talk about the fourth type of wealth, what fights physical wealth is complacency. When it comes to the young person, they think that they are young, they are strong, and so they can do whatever they want. They can eat any way they want. They will not rest. And all that is due to the fact that you are complacent of the fact that that is a season of life that you are not mastering. And complacency also, in the area of spiritual matters, there are people who will tell you that for me, no demon can attack me or no ancestral spirits can attack me and things like that. And really, it's not from the standpoint that they are very prayerful, they are in tune with God. No, it's just from the point of ignorance. And so they have become complacent based on their ignorance. And that becomes a detriment to our physical wealth. And Sister Candace, for the sake of time, I want to be able to go to the next type of wealth. And so the fourth type of wealth that I will list and briefly talk about it is time wealth. Time as a type of wealth. And Sister Candace, Many people overlook this, but let me ask our audience a question before I even dive into it. When we are striving to get all the money that we want, what really are we trying to get at? Control over time is the answer. We want to have the freedom of time and then choice. That really is why we struggle so hard to get money. Because when you have money, you have the ability to do with your time what you want. You are not obliged to wake up at a certain time to go to work and then to clock out at a certain time. Some of us will speed like maniacs in order to make it on time to work. When you have enough wealth, you are able to skip through all these things. And so time by itself is wealth. The other reason why I think time is wealth by itself is because our world is governed by times and seasons. Everything we do in this life has an allotted time. Even the number of days that you and I will spend on the earth is numbered. It's timed. And so if you don't walk according to the seasons of your time, you are not walking in the world of time. And so you will end up getting to the evening stage of your life, talking about number your days again, getting to the evening stage of your life, and you find yourself trying to make up the things that has to do with the morning stage of your life. What happened to your afternoon stage? You lost time. You lost time. Sister Candace, the other reason is that time is the one thing that is common to the poor and to the rich.
True. It's fair.
No matter what you do, time is the great equalizer. That no matter how rich or how powerful anyone is, they cannot add time. But herein lies the secret. The one who is walking in the wealth of time has mastered other resources to be able to buy them more time within the 24-hour period.
True.
And so what I said, I was going to talk about it briefly. So let's talk about what fights time. Sister Candace, brace yourself. What fights time greatly or impacts time the greatest is poverty. Poverty. Poverty is what fights time wealth. Poverty would deprive you the ability to do with your time what you desire to do. Friends, let's not kid ourselves. No matter the calling of God upon your life, poverty will cause you to delay your calling in life. Poverty will cause you to delay your destiny. Poverty will cause you to not put your children through the right schools, and so they will not be able to walk in the level of wealth that they ought to walk in. Don't underestimate the impact of poverty on time. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you do, if you do not engage the right principles in order to walk or to live a comfortable life, no matter the calling of God upon your life, Sister Candace, you will not be able to walk into it. So time by itself is wealth.
Wow, so powerful. You know, I feel like this is very crucial also because it goes back to a lot of the stuff we already listed, right? And with the physical one, we are, you know, with the rest, it's management, you know? And I think when you refer to poverty being something that fights time, it's not necessarily financial poverty.
No, not just money.
Poverty in aspects of life, which comes out of ignorance per se, you know, and it's us not managing things correctly. It's us not, you know, and it's even when it goes back to someone redeeming time with wealth, it really goes to show what in the space of hours someone can really do and not be able to do.
Correct.
Right. And it tells us that we have control on what we are deciding to do at particular seconds of our day. And it all has to do with what you know, right?
Absolutely.
And what you know in the area of where you are going and who you are.
Absolutely.
And if you don't know any of this, you just live life, you know, and people make this statement, live life, you know, life is too short. Life is not short, by the way. It's short because you're not living it. Right. But I think to the concept of live life, life is short. It's in actuality how you are living it that makes life short.
Yes, yes. And I think just to kind of echo that point, I believe it's the late Dr. Miles Monroe who said that no matter how old you are when you die, die empty. Because if you do all that you're supposed to do, I mean, this is a man who died, I think, in his late 50s, but the impact that he made in the world.
Yeah.
Some people will live to 90, 100 and will not make half of that impact. And so he didn't only preach it, but he actually lived it. And we people like me are very saddened that we lost him so early, because I think there's so much he could have still given the body of Christ, but he died empty. And so it's really not a matter of life is short. It's a matter of, is life fulfilled or is life lived well?
Right.
Are you walking in wealth?
Right.
And just as an aside, a part of this conversation really was actually things that I gathered from his books that he wrote and left with us. He's been gone for several years now. Yeah. And some of the knowledge we are discussing today came from him.
So with speaking about the time, I actually wanted to bring this thing that I've realized that it's something that is like at the top front of people's mind, right? Mm. But it's actually something that is really, really affecting society. And because of the way our body is made up, you know, we feel like it's only the right thing to do to put it at the forefront of your mind. That is age. And we are talking about time, and I'm bringing this in because someone can hit 40. Their whole perspective changes.
Yes, yes, 40, that's very true.
I'm no more going to play soccer as I used to. I'm no more, you know, so there's this thing that we kind of shift our life in accordance with the age that is given to us, you know, instead of shifting our mind to our health and how we build and enhance the functionalities of our organs and things like the things we can do to be in good shape and be in good place to keep living life the way we should. We rather think, okay, so I'm 50, so let me think about what 50-year-olds should do or do, right? And so live my life in accordance with this age bracket and what is expected of me.
Wow.
Meanwhile, and we just spoke about this gentleman, and there's one time I was sitting down and my mind just went back into some preachers and some men of God who are like in their 80s. And they're still, it's like age is not even a factor in their mind.
Absolutely.
They're still doing crusades and revivals as if they're in their 50s.
Yep, yep.
And I was thinking to myself, wait, do they not think about your age? Like 80-year-old, you should be sitting, right? You should be sitting at some porch or, you know, with your grandbabies and sipping some tea or coffee, whatever you like. But they are out there still doing this. And I just wanted to bring this in with the aspects of time, because what is age? You know, we spoke about this. Age is a factor.
Yes.
But it's a factor in the life that you should live.
Yes.
Do all you can to live your life to the fullest, regardless of if you're 50, 40, 60, whatever. And I say this to say I was listening to a documentary. I think I brought it up last time. A lady, she was a drug addict. She was in an abusive relationship, all this stuff, all the way throughout her 40s. I mean, from beginning to her 40s. And when she hit 50, she said that's when she met a man that changed her whole perspective. She started eating right. She started gymming. She started, you know, doing things that helps mental health, emotional health. And now at 50, that's when her life begun. And now she's living life to do things that she knew she should have done in her 20s. But for the average person at 50, they will not even think about pursuing something that they should have done in their 20s. So, I mean, I've said a lot, but yeah, I think age is one of the things that can fight it too.
Yeah, and Sakendis, it's very important that you chip this in, because it's actually something that I was going to say, but I skipped it because of time. That when we talk about time as wealth, one of the things that I have here is that when you are walking in the wealth of time, your age becomes an asset to you. Mm-hmm. Your age becomes an asset. And so if you are in the early stages of your life, your strength, your ability to learn things becomes an asset. If you are in the older stages of your life, your experience becomes an asset. So within time wealth is age itself as an asset, that if you want to walk in the wealth of time, you must master the stages of your life that we talked about in Number Your Days. We're not going to go through it because of time, but I really think it will be a good practice for our audience to go back to listen to that series, because we've made a lot of references to Number Your Days in this conversation. And so I really thank you, Sister Candace, for bringing that up, because I think it's something that God really wanted us to share with our audience, because I tried to skip it and here you are, you still brought it up. But the next type of wealth, which will be the fifth type of wealth that I want to talk about, and I will try to be brief because I want to be able to get to financial wealth, which is really the biggest topic, right? So the next type of wealth, the fifth wealth I will talk about, is mental wealth. Mental wealth. And that has to do with psychology. You know, Sister Candace, our ability to interact with our inner self and our environment is something that most people don't pay attention to. But it is very, very crucial, because your intellect, your emotions, your will, all these encompass your mental health. In order for you to walk in mental health, you must be able to use your mind to advance your life. People don't use their minds to advance their life. So when it comes to their intellect, they don't use the things that they have learned to advance their lives. When it comes to emotions, they don't use their emotional engagements, the environments that they expand their emotions in, the things they expand their emotions with. They don't use them to enhance or advance their lives. There are high schoolers who are spending their emotions with boyfriend and girlfriend drama. And so they are not working in mental wealth. They are wasting their emotions. What should your emotions be when you are in high school and middle school? It has to be centered on building or finding the things that brings joy. Joy, again, I will remind you, comes from the inside, not outside. And so trying to be in all these relationships, in all these groups, mean girls, mean boys, and all these groups that we form in middle school and high school, friends, they don't advance your life. And so we spend so much of our emotions, our psychological state, on things that don't benefit us. And so when it comes to the area of mental wealth, Sister Candace, a lot of us are lacking. We don't advance ourselves and others because we don't take the time to master or to study our emotional state. We talk about some people are emotional. When I think that's really a wrong statement, because when we say people are emotional, we are talking about their lack of control. Yeah. But really, working in mental wealth has to do with you having control over these things, over your emotions, over your environment, over your intellect, using them to benefit you and to benefit others. But when we talk about people are emotional, we are talking about people who don't have control over their environment, their emotions, the things that come to them.
What triggers them.
Correct. And I will go ahead and say this here, that those who are working in mental wealth are the people who have a response to the things that life throws at them rather than a reaction to the things that life throws at them. Working in mental wealth means you structure your life in a way to respond to life rather than react to life. And so if you find yourself reacting to life, you are not working in mental wealth. And so why I couldn't group this with health, because we have the depressions and there's schizophrenia and all those things. Yes, those are all psychological, but really your ability to respond to life and not react to life is truly what mental wealth is. It's not the same thing.
I wanted to add to this mental wealth thing that is, it's an inner work that no one can teach you. It takes an inner work. And, you know, I was just thinking it through and I'm like, most people don't want to seem crazy. Like, well, I'm talking to myself or I'm thinking to myself. Like, you know, there's this back and forth that I didn't know that this is the where it falls under. But over the years, I equipped myself to do it. I was put in a situation where I was forced to build this mental wealth thing that we are talking about. But it got to a point where I felt like talking, I would talk to myself back and forth.
Yes.
And this is not a spirit talking to me. Crazy thing that people, you know, refer to in Halloween times. Like, you will hear your inner thoughts. And you will counter your inner thoughts, or you will respond to your inner thoughts. And everything, the reactions and everything will be within you without coming out, right? And so the beginning process will seem like you're crazy or you are nuts. But, you know, I just wanted to throw it on here. If you want to, you know, target this wealth, just trust yourself. Speak with yourself. You are not crazy. It's a process. It will get to a point where something that someone will say that you are meant to react, you see that your mind is doing the talking before you react. It will become some automatic thing that your system will just become accustomed to. So I just wanted to give you the practicality aspect of it, so that if you want to, you know, go on that journey, you don't think I'm going crazy. I'm hearing voices. You know, I find myself talking to myself. You're supposed to. It's something that we are supposed to do, to even calm yourself down.
Yeah,
we are even meant to. And, you know, this is why we emphasize on the spiritual aspect, because everything goes back to God and his creation and the things that he has put in place. And there are some things that he has put in us, like with the fasting that we were talking about. It's meant to rebuild some things in us, cells and all these kind of things when you do research. The same thing with this. We are meant to calm ourselves down before someone comes and say, calm down or chill and all these kind of things. People say that piss you off more, right? But you know yourself. So I think we have more strength than we give ourselves credit, right?
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to pitch that in here with the mental wealth thing, that it's you. It's a work with you and within yourself.
And Sakendis, thank you so much for that practical example that you gave us. And you know, there is actually an entire field that we have now called emotional intelligence.
Which
really is to target bringing people into mental wealth. And so please don't think that we are making these things up because we want to beat time. No, trust me, financial wealth alone will take about 20 minutes. And so it's really not a matter of beating time, but these are important things that I want us to be able to share because it brings healing to us. Sister Candace, and you know, the interesting thing is you did talk about knowledge earlier, because what fights mental wealth the most are two things. One is education or the lack thereof, and two is our inability to maintain joy, because we lack the proper orientation with joy. As something that comes from within, most of us don't know how to maintain joy. We look to things and people to give us joy. And so when the things and the people are not giving us that joy, the things that we think is joy, then we are going into the place of depression and all these things. And so our ability to maintain joy is really how we are able to maintain or work in mental wealth. And then the way lack of education fights mental wealth is that, Sister Candace, in lack of education, we lack the knowledge of people's experiences through these things. And so we are not able to learn from the experience of others. We wait for ourselves to go through these painful things. And though it is not wrong, I will again remind you that, yes, experience is a good teacher, but learning from other people's experience is a better teacher. Because you spare yourself the pain and the heartache that going through that experience will bring you. So experience is not the best teacher. Experience, let's say, is a better teacher, but learning from other people's experience is the best teacher, because you save yourself time, you save yourself pain, you save yourself waste of resources. And so I'll end that there. Make with it what you want, right? And then the next one will be shared or community wealth. Shared or community wealth. And Sister Candace, the brief thing that I will say with this is that the ability to be able to train our children well is not really a responsibility isolated to the family. Our society plays a very key role in our ability to raise even our children. And so if you live in an environment, in a society, that the school systems are bad, that the churches are bad, and all these things, then unfortunately, being able to raise your children to walk in this level of wealth becomes an uphill battle. And so don't ignore when you have the opportunity to live in an environment where you will be able to work in a community or shared wealth. Yes, okay. There is such a thing as that. And so, Sister Candace, you will find that in most wealthy places, you will find specific cultures live in specific sets. The reason why they do that is not necessarily to ignore everybody or everything else. No. But to be able to build that sense of community. And when you have grown in this community, it now becomes dependent or important for you to expose yourself to others. That's why I called it shared wealth, because you build yourself in a community, but you expose yourself to others. And Candace, for the sake of time, I will talk about what fights this and what fights our ability to work in shared wealth or community wealth is systems, especially governmental systems. And so the government, not because of bad intention, but a lot of laws are set up which will fight the ability for us to really live in shared wealth. There are boundaries that our government will put in place that isolate certain ethnic groups and isolate certain income levels and all these things. And so it really fights our ability to live in these areas where we can expose ourselves and our children to that shared or community wealth.
And lean on each other.
Yeah. And Sister Candace, I know our audience are probably at this point getting upset that when are we going to talk about financial wealth? Well, the truth is, I did this on purpose, because the rest of this series, Sister Candace, when we talk about how to be wealthy, the purpose of wealth, these are all tied to financial wealth, which is the last and seventh type of wealth that we will be talking about. So, God willing, next week when we meet, we will start our conversation by talking about financial wealth, money. Yes, this is where the crispy crust of the conversation comes to. We will start talking about money, and then we will talk about how to be wealthy, how do we get money? And then by God willing, we will talk about the purpose of money, all of that next week in one conversation. And I think it will make a lot more sense then. So I will end here for the sake of time, and we will pick up with financial wealth or money next week and then go from there.
Wow. This has been... You don't want to miss next week's. Why am I saying that? Because everything that we've been talking about starts, but comes down to next week's topic, which is the financial wealth, right?
Yes.
And so you don't want to miss it. Also, this week's discussion has been an eye-opening. It's been a healing discussion. And I hope, you know, you out there too, you are healed. And one thing I want to say about this wealth that we've, you know, talked about, and we are going to continue to talk about, is see it in a sense of something that's repositioning you,
yes,
right, in your life, to be able to start a new path or continue on a right path that you've already begun, right? Because like Dr. Joe rightfully said, everything that we've been talking about has indirectly been, you know, foreshadowing this. And so it's really the core of the whole year's message, mm-hmm, that we are delving in series by series, episode by episode. And so take time with each one of them and see it as a repositioning and a transformational series, and see where you can transform your life and heal your life whilst you're listening to it.
Absolutely.
And so we will end here. The time is gone. Dr. Joe keeps blinking his eye at me like, hello, but I'll choose to be obedient today. So we're going to close off today. Be sure to listen to our podcast on all platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and be sure to also share your messages or any topics, pressing topics that you really want us to talk about. You can go on the YouTube and type in the comment section a topic that you want us to talk about that has been really bothering you, or, you know, it's like a societal issue. Whatever you want us to talk about, feel free. Comments, everything is welcome. And we haven't been really getting much of that. So I want you to know that the door is open for such stuff. God bless you so much for tuning in today. I am your host, Candace. Dr. Joe led us today, and we are going to close off today. This is Hour of Healing, and we hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.